Exodus 15.
All right, look there at verse 22. Verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heal thee." And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters.
The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 15:4 that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. I'm a firm believer that the best sermon illustrations are those that God Himself gave to us in the Bible. You know, the Old Testament is not a children's storybook, you know, with a bunch of cartoon characters like ancient Roman mythology. Rather, this is a deep well of truth, a gallery of illustrations for the New Testament Christian. We call them stories, but we must not consider them to be stories as in fiction. They are historical events. They took place in the lives of real people just like you and I. They took place exactly the way God described them taking place. And they are real life situations. And God gave us these for our learning, for our warning, our admonition, and to give us hope. And certainly, many of us could use some hope in these days. You know, I was thinking recently that almost all of my pastoral ministry has been in a time of recession here in our country, and how this has just dragged on and on and on since 2001. And how many people have been affected? How many of you have been affected over the years financially and through different difficulties? You know, we need hope, but the hope we need has to come from God. And I thank God that He gave us a Bible that gives us hope. Our text records the first testing of the children of Israel after they crossed the Red Sea. As a redeemed people, they began following God into the wilderness. And in that wilderness, they went through many experiences that represent and symbolize and picture many of our experiences. The very first experience they had, as soon as they came through the Red Sea, just as our picture for our annual theme this year depicts, they went through the Red Sea, and the very first major experience they had was at a place they named Marah. The word Marah means bitter. You might remember in the book of Ruth how Naomi, her name means sweetness. Boy, it's nice to be around someone who's sweet all the time. Amen. And but she came back from Moab and her name, she said, "Don't call me sweetness anymore, call me Marah," because she was bitter against the Lord. And so this was a place that was it marked a bitter experience in their lives. A bitter spot in their journeys. You know, and I'd like to stand here and say, and maybe I can put on a Chuck Schuler smile and let you know that everything's always going to be okay. But you know, sometimes we're going to have to drink some bitter water. Sometimes things are not going to go exactly the way we wanted them to go. And sometimes things are going to be very, very disappointing to us. And I'd like to say that will never be the experience, but I'd be lying to you. We know ourselves, everyone who's been in this room, who's been saved for any length of time, knows that even in the will of God for your life, there have been spots in the journey that were disappointing, that were bitter, that were hard to take, that were frustrating, that maybe you even complained about, and such. And that is what is represented by the stop they called Marah. You know, you and I as Christians, it's not what we go through that matters so much as how we respond to it. I'm a firm believer that we can go through a whole lot as a child of God. And if we respond properly, we can be victorious in it and through it and over it. So often we don't respond to things scripturally. And so this morning I want you and I to consider some valuable lessons we can learn from the bitter waters of Marah. Notice number one, that God is the one who led them to these bitter waters. God is the one who led them to these bitter waters. Notice the verse, well, don't turn there, but in Exodus 13:21 it says, "The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way." So, hey listen, wouldn't that be awesome? You just got up every morning, looked outside, saw the cloud. If the cloud stayed, you stayed. The cloud moved, you moved. At night, that pillar of cloud transformed itself into a pillar of fire, kept you warm at night, lit up the area. World's biggest nightlight. And so they followed the cloud. The cloud led them to the Red Sea. They followed through the Red Sea. The cloud led them for 3 days further into the wilderness. And for 3 days, they followed God. They followed His obvious, no doubt about it, leadership. But for 3 days, they could not find any water. Folks, I've driven through in a nice air-conditioned bus through that part of the world. And it's nothing but a rock pile, blast furnace area. When the sun is beating off that ground where there's hardly any vegetation, it's got to be a hot, miserable place to be. Especially when you have no water. Can you imagine? Let's count out 3 days. You're not going to have any water today. Monday, no water for you. Tuesday, no water. And your little kids, Jonathan's crying, his lips are all swollen. Nathan's face is red, blistering. Wife's run down, exhausted. Your animals are lowing. They're thirsty. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, 3 days. You're out there in that blast furnace, and up in front of you is the cloud. You're following God, but you keep looking, and there's no water anywhere. And they begin to doubt why God has led them into the wilderness and not provided for them what they believe that they need. They did not come to Marah because they were out of the will of God. They came to Marah because they were in the will of God. Now, many folks think that if they'll just follow God, they'll never have another problem or another trial or another difficulty, but that's not true. Let me say something else, that Jesus is not a drug we take to feel better. Well, if I just had a little more Jesus, I could feel better about my life. Folks, sometimes you're going to have all... By the way, you only get all of Jesus. You don't get part of Jesus. You don't get more of Jesus. You're just going to have to go through some very, really tough times with the Lord. And there is no pill that you can pop that's going to make it go away. Now, they were following God, and they came to this tough, bitter spot. And it is unbiblical for us to think that just because we're saved, that we'll never go through difficult times. Now, this last week was my spiritual birthday. I got saved 24 years ago, last Tuesday, the 21st. And I got saved at 15, so you can do the math. I'm 39. I know I look younger. I got saved 24 years ago. I've been holding on. I'm being held, amen? I'm eternally secure in Christ. And I recognize that anniversary, and I stop and think about what God saved me from. I wasn't a troubled kid, but I was a troubled kid. I wasn't in gangs and on drugs and getting in trouble and stuff. I was a good honor roll student, but I was troubled way down inside here. And I don't know where I would have ended up in life. And I thank God that He saved me. And I can't say, looking back over 24 years of Christian life, that there have not been any Marah spots. Because there have. And everyone in this room has a testimony for Christ. There have been times in your life when you are following the will of God and it led you right into a difficult situation. But I will say this, But I'd much rather face anything in life with Jesus than without Him. Amen? That's the benefit of the Christian. We still live in this old wicked world, and it's not always a fun place to be. Now, life's good. I enjoy life, and you ought to enjoy life as a Christian. I'm just saying that there are times in this ugly old world when it's not always fun. But I thank God that I could go through those times with Jesus Christ and not on my own. Because the problem is, if I'd gone through them with the devil, it certainly wouldn't have been any better for me. Oh, how much better to follow the shepherd through those difficult valleys and times. I consider these bitter waters. First, they were unexpected. Folks, look at our pictures again. Our theme this year for those visiting is the Lord which maketh a way in the sea. It's a statement of our faith this year that we're trusting God to provide for us and to make a way where we can't see a way. And they came to the Red Sea and God brought them through miraculously. And they got to the other side, the greatest victory they'd ever seen. It was an amazing, miraculous experience. They, on the other shore, they saw the dead Egyptians floating in the water, and they sang a song of praise to God. And now 3 days later, they have come to this place called Marah, and it was totally unexpected. I've seen folks get saved. Listen, they get saved, and man, they're happy and excited, and they go home. All of a sudden, there's all kinds of problems within days of getting saved. You know. And boys, it's the devil. He doesn't want you to get in the habit of starting to go to church. He really doesn't. Think back when you first got saved. When I got saved, you know what I did the next Sunday? My grandpa asked me to go fishing. It's been a long time since he asked me to go fishing. You know what I did? I went fishing. He didn't ask me the week before, didn't ask me the week before that, didn't ask the week before that. But that Sunday, that next Sunday after I got saved, you want to go fishing? Yeah, let's go fishing. Because Satan wants to keep us from getting in the habit of being in God's house. And a lot of times a young Christian, man, they get saved. All of a sudden, all these things pop up in their lives. And it is designed to keep them from getting into church where they need to be. So it was unexpected. It was unexpected to Israel, but it was not unexpected to the Lord. Would you agree with me that God knew where He was? Would you agree with me that God didn't get lost out there in the desert? His GPS didn't fail. That God actually knew as He brought them to this place, He brought them there for a reason, and He knew exactly where they were. All right, so it was unexpected to them, and sometimes life catches us off guard, but we must remember that, you know, has it ever occurred to you? Nothing ever occurred to Him. He knows it all. And so number one, it was unexpected. And then it included a time of painful persistence. Now give Him some credit. This may have been a record for Israel at that time. They went 3 days without complaining. I think that's a record. Again, Sunday through Tuesday. Traveling, no one's complaining. Well, maybe tomorrow. They're pushing on, getting thirstier and thirstier. They're pushing on. Second day, they stop. Still no one's complaining. Third day, I mean, it's painful, but they're persisting. They keep on going. They're toughing it out. They're being good soldiers. Third day, still no water. And then finally, they finally just gave in and started complaining. You know. Preacher, I've been toughing this out for a month. I've been toughing this out for 6 months. Folks, I don't know how long you're going to have to tough it out. Sometimes you've been toughing it out, toughing it out, and toughing it out. All of a sudden, things get worse. And you say, what happened? Trust God. God has a purpose. We're seeing that in this story. But there was a time of painful persistence. And then there was great disappointment. Picture in your mind. You got to let these stories come to life. You got millions of people, 2 or 3 million people. And all of a sudden, the folks way up front, they're traveling along and they see light reflecting off something. I don't know if it's a mirage or not. They get closer and closer. All of a sudden they see this big pool of water. There's water! They're shouting, there's water! These folks behind, there's water up ahead! They scream all the way to the back, there's water up ahead! And everyone's excited, water, water, water! The kids are jumping up and down. Wives are excited. Husbands are excited. They're walking a little bit faster now. Get to the water. And they get to the water, and the first one's there. They reach their hand in, and it's salt water or bitter water, corrupted water. They can't drink it. They pass the word back down the line. It's no good. It's bitter. It's bitter. It's no good. All the way through the entire camp. How would you feel? You think you'd be a little disappointed? Yeah. You ever had your heart set on something and thought you're going to have it and all of a sudden it was gone? Sometimes it's bitter. It was very disappointing. And I've seen sometimes Christians fail here. I mean, listen, I've seen them go through some really tough times and persist and be faithful. And then they get their hopes up about something and it doesn't come to pass and they give up on the Lord. They've been faithful all that time, but then disappointment caused them to give up on the Lord. So we're learning some lessons here. God led them to the bitter waters of Marah. But notice secondly, that the bitter waters were an appointed trial of their faith. In Exodus 15 and verse 25 it says that there He proved them. God put them to the test. They come through the Red Sea and God immediately gave them a test. Now these tests are not to show God what we know, because God already knows what we know. These tests are designed to show us what we need to know. And for 12 years I taught in a very small local Bible college and a preacher training school. And I gave a lot of tests. And I remember one year I gave the midterm the first day of class. So why'd you do that? I said, because some of the students were a little cocky. So I gave them the, it wasn't the first day, it was the second day. I gave them the second day of class, gave them the final. They all failed it. And I said, well, now that you know that you don't know anything, let's have class. And we'll see if we can teach you something. You know, God gives us tests to show us what we don't know. They have the purpose to teach us our strengths and weaknesses and to reveal to us areas that need growth or greater understanding. God does not test us because He wants us to fail. God tests us because He wants us to succeed. Tests are for success. They're educational, not punitive. Tests are for our growth and our training. They're to help us progress in the Christian life. By the way, when I gave them the final or the midterm on the second day, I didn't credit that against them. I was just using it as a lesson, objects lesson. We just threw them in the trash. They didn't go towards their grade. It was purely for education, not for punishment. And when God puts us through a test, He wants us to grow through it. He wants to graduate forward. He doesn't promote us. He didn't want us graduating high school if you can't read your own name on the diploma. He wants you to learn, and He proves us, and He puts us to the test. God wants to know what's in our heart. This trial would educate them for the future. And by the way, they didn't pass the test at first. You know what they did? They showed one of their greatest character flaws at Marah. Because as soon as, when they hit their limit, they started complaining and they turned on Moses. The two things they kept doing for the next 40 years. They complained and they turned on Moses. And it reveals to us and to them that their relationship with God was purely horizontal. All they could see was Moses, and they complained about him leading us out here. Wasn't there any food in Egypt? Weren't there any graves in Egypt? He's got to bring us out here to die in the wilderness. And they always blamed Moses, and they didn't turn it to the Lord. And that's how some folks are. They can never see beyond the preacher. They can never see beyond the spiritual leader. They never see beyond whoever's out in front of them. And it's all they do is complain towards Him, but they never take the time to turn it over to the Lord. And this was a test that they kept failing in. When we go through Marah's waters, we need to learn from our bad experiences and even learn from our failures and remember those lessons for future difficulties. Let me tell you something. In life, nobody makes straight A's. Nobody, except Jesus. I fail many times. Grieves me that, God has to work on me. Doesn't work on you, though, does He? Y'all get real quiet. Yeah, you want to hear about the preacher, don't you? Because I know that for God to use me, there had to be dross removed. There had to be rough edges filed down. I had to learn some things and be used to things. My goal every year is just be better than I was last year. And if you don't like me now, hang around till next year. Maybe you'll like me then. Because I want to keep growing as a Christian. And sometimes that means that I have to fall on my face or fail or make a mistake or say something I shouldn't say or I've got to see my attitude sometimes in the mirror of God's Word. And I learn from my failures. I fail forward. Amen? So don't think that you're going to go through life making straight A's. You're not. You're going to have some failures. But the purpose of God's testing is to move you forward so that you can learn from those mistakes and become the Christian that God wants you to be. Number three, God had a solution on sight. Verse 25. And he cried unto the Lord. That's Moses. Now the people, they never cried unto the Lord. They just cried to Moses. Moses cried to the Lord. He showed them a tree. Now I can just see the Lord in heaven. Can you imagine looking down on 3 million people? They're all griping and complaining at Moses. And the Lord's like watching from heaven. And Moses finally cries to the Lord. And the Lord says, finally, someone actually asked me. Right? They're all complaining down there and not wanting. Finally, here's Moses asked me for a solution. How often we go through some bitter, difficult time and we talk amongst each other, we complain in our hearts, we cross our arms and we get bitter about our situation, but we never actually stop and ask God for help. And we have not because we ask not. And so Moses cried to the Lord, and the Lord said, I'm glad somebody finally asked me about this. And he said, Moses, see that tree over there? Cut the tree down, throw it in the water. See, the Lord had a solution on sight. And I believe that if we're in the will of God, God has solutions. Many years ago, my wife and I were going through the process of getting a mortgage. And we'd hit a few snags. Being a poor preacher, you know. Hit a few snags. But we're dealing with our lender and the agent. And he came over to our house and we're going through papers and numbers and stuff. And he kept saying, well, we have a snag here. He said, well, we have a solvable problem. That made me feel good, amen. I'm glad he didn't say we have an impossible problem. We have a solvable problem. And we did solve those problems and eventually, you know, we got that mortgage. But, you know, when we talk about problems with the Lord, all of our problems are solvable problems with the Lord. Amen. He had a solution on sight. Number four, when the tree was cast in, the waters were made sweet. Now, why did God choose a tree? I believe that God was pointing forward to another tree. But the Bible says that in 1 Peter 2:24 that Jesus in His own self bare our sins in His body on the tree. That was another term for the cross. And I believe that the Lord was pointing us forward thousands of years to the cross of Calvary, the tree. And when Moses cast the tree into the waters, I believe it pictures us putting the cross of Christ, putting Jesus into our lives, getting saved, and the salvation we have through the cross. I do believe that the cross makes all the difference in the world. It changes destinies. It changes eternities. It changes lives. It changes families. It changes nations. It changed me. Amen. Salvation through the cross. Salvation changes everything. Even bitter waters can be made sweet when Jesus Christ comes into our hearts and lives. I've seen that in my parents. Thank God my parents are both healthy enough to be in church this morning. Not here, but out in Weatherford. And I remember growing up, we had a decent moral family, at least on the surface. My brother was a drug addict and a thief, and my parents fought all the time, but we had a decent family. But they were not happy. My mother buried a 3-year-old child, her oldest son Thomas, had all the trouble with my brother, and then I kind of drew inward and was kind of in my own world. It was kind of a bad attitude teenager. My parents had it kind of rough, I think, a lot of their circumstances in life. When my parents got saved, it has been an amazing change in their lives. I tell my kids all the time, I said, your grandpa wasn't that nice to me. As he is to you. You know, he wasn't that nice. The Lord's still working on mom, but I'm just teasing. But you know what? They both show the peace of God, the joy of the Lord, the contentment, the happiness that comes from a genuine salvation. I tell you, Jesus changes lives. Jesus changes eternities. And the cross cast in can turn bitter things sweet. And then I see in this submission to the cross, salvation through the cross, submission to the cross. Why the tree after crossing the Red Sea? Because after we get saved, I think we need to keep looking back to the cross of Calvary. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus and what He suffered for our sins. Before Jesus went to the cross, He compared it to a bitter cup. It was a cup of Marah, wasn't it? And He knelt there before the Father and said, Oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And He was willing to drink the cup of Marah for our sins, to drink the bitterness into Himself, and to suffer all in our stead. So when the Father's plan was this bitter cup, and Jesus submitted Himself to that bitter cup so that He might be our Savior. And as we go through the Christian life and we struggle along sometimes and 3 days without water and it's hard and we come to a difficult, disappointing spot in life and it's marred and it's bitter, you know what we need to do? We need to stop and quit looking at ourselves and look to the tree and look to Jesus Christ and realize all that He did for us so we can be saved. We've not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. He's the one who suffered all for us. If we have to go through a few days of difficulty and a few hardships in life, it's nothing compared to what He went through for our salvation and to be our sacrifice and to be our substitute and to be our great high priest. And so I need to stop at Marah and think about the cup of Marah that He drank for my sins. The water wasn't just made drinkable. It wasn't like it was now, at least you could swallow it. Now it was made sweet. And that's the Christian life. It's not just something we endure, folks. It's something we can enjoy, the Christian life. Well, I'll point out a fifth thing, and that is that there were better things waiting just down the road. I like the song that we sing. Brother Camp leads in it as a congregational. I love it. It's usually sung as a special, but I like how we sing it as a congregational. The farther along, I'll know all about it. Farther along, I'll understand why. Amen. Just go a little bit further down. One day we'll understand it all by and by. Verse 27 says, they came to Elim where were 12 wells of water, 72 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. Just, you know, someone said that it's only about 10 miles further. You know, that's people that are used to walking. That's just a few hours down the road. And here they left the bitter waters of Marah. They were made sweet. They refreshed themselves. They kept on going. And I wonder if they're thinking, I wonder if it's going to be 3 or 4 more days. And then just maybe half a day down the road, they run into this beautiful oasis, 70 palm trees, water springing up out of the ground, Elim. I just believe, folks, that God has better things ahead for us. Don't give up on God when unexpected problems or disappointments come. Throw the tree in. Look back to the cross. Pray to the Lord. Ask Him for direction. Take what God gives you and just move on down the road. Of course, the greatest oasis of all is waiting for us, and that's heaven. Amen. And one day we're going to leave all the Marah behind, and maybe it'll be today. Maybe it'll be today. Maybe the Lord will come back. And I thank God for that wonderful, precious promise we have of a place where it's not just a well of water, but it's a well of eternal life, the water of life. For it's not just palm trees, but the tree of life in that New Jerusalem. And the blessed hope that heaven will be our eternal home. Let me ask you this morning, do you know for sure that you're saved? Do you know for sure that if you die today, you go to heaven? And if you are saved, are you going through a difficult time? What are you going to do about it? It's how you react that matters. And if you say, preacher, I'm going through things fine, let me tell you, if things are fine right now, I don't want to discourage you, but sooner or later, you're going to hit a Marah spot. Three kinds of sermons. One you needed yesterday, one you need today, one you're going to need tomorrow. Amen. And I hope that you'll look back at this Old Testament illustration written for our admonition, our learning, to give us hope that there is still a God in heaven. He's still in charge. We've got to pass our tests and be promoted forward and trust God to provide something better down the road.